Why don't we all read these first three verses, and I'll carry us through the second half. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is holy, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Father, thank you for preserving these words through the ages that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. And Lord, thank you for just bringing these words to us this morning as we consider anxiety and how you can be close at hand and help us through those times of anxiousness. Father, I just pray that, as we've said, that you would open our hearts and minds to hear from you, that this would not come from me, but this would be just your truth through your word preached this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. All right. So if you've been with us, we've been the last 4 weeks in the book of Titus, and we'll get back to Titus, I don't know if that's next week or, yeah, next week. Taking an interlude here to go back to where we have been. Before we were in Titus, we were preaching through transformations, and this is really the working out of our church vision, which is to see the gospel transform everything. So if the gospel transforms everything, how does it actually play out in our lives? In our day-to-day lives. So as part of that series, we looked at the gospel transforming communication and work, how it transforms communication, leadership, and community. And as we were going through that, we're also like trying to grow up within our body some others besides Joey to come up and preach on a Sunday, partly to give Joey a break, and partly just so that we have that capacity within our body. So through that time, like we heard messages from Benjamin and from Zach, and we're going through like teaching ourselves how to do some expositional teaching. So we had this teaching cohort, and part of that was like, if you were going to give a sermon, what would it be on? And so we're in the middle of all that in this transformation series, and Jenny and I are driving home from Denver one night, and just kind of out of nowhere, we're getting close to home, and Jenny turns to me and says, "Do you ever worry about driving into a sinkhole?" No, I have never worried about driving into a sinkhole. But she was half serious, half joking. She had just seen like all these people in the videos falling into sinkholes, so it was a concern, right? Something that she was anxious about. And I thought, wow, we should have Joey teach the sermon on like how God transforms our anxiety, how the gospel transforms that. And almost like instantly, it was like, no, that's what I should do. And so when I was thinking about anxiety, there was a verse that came to mind. And that was this Philippians 4:6, which is something that I'd been taught in like through discipleship and just like working through things in my Christian walk. And so do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And, you know, that can sound like Paul's saying, like, just don't be anxious. Like, don't be a dum-dum. Don't do that, right? But as so far from what he is trying to say here. And, excuse me. Okay. So the crux of the matter is you have this, like, do not be anxious. But the key to everything is the Lord is at hand. Your God is near to you. Do not be anxious. The Lord is at hand. You can pray to him. The Lord is at hand. He can give you thanksgiving. The Lord is at hand. He can change your thoughts toward good. And so as I was looking into this a little bit further, like the Lord is at hand, does it mean like he's ready for action? He's like there. It's like, no, it really means that he's near to us. And Paul is writing this letter from prison, writing to the church that he planted in Philippi. And Paul knows what it is to be anxious. On his second missionary trip, this is his first time through Philippi that they wrote about in Acts 16, he shows up in town and there's no like big synagogue there, but there are some believers who get together and pray, so he goes and prays with them. And you can read in Acts 16, I don't have time to go through all of the ins and outs, but in this process of being here in Philippi, he's arrested, he's beaten with rods, he's thrown in jail. In the middle of the night when they're singing and praying, there's an earthquake that opens up all the doors in jail, but they don't escape, they stay there, and the jailer thinks that they've all escaped and he's about to kill himself, and they're like, no, we have not escaped. So they witness to the jailer, and he's saved and is baptized, and this church is growing in Philippi, and they leave and move on to their other places that they're going on their trip. But certainly in all of those things, like, Paul has experienced anxiety. If you look at all of Paul's trips and time, like, he definitely has suffered. So I just think that these words to us have been preserved and come down, and like, we can study and meditate on these scriptures. And Paul's talking not only to the church in Philippi, but to us as well. So the Greek word here, miramnao, means to be anxious or to be troubled with fears, with cares. It's not like some other anxiety. It is what we perceive anxiety to be. Anxiety can be a lack of trust or fear of not having our needs taken care of. Anxiety is something that's common throughout human history. Recently we've had the pandemic. That's caused a lot of anxiety. All throughout Scripture, we can see people dealing with anxiety. Throughout history, we can see it. If I pull a couple things out of Scripture, there's David was in fear for his life at the hands of King Saul. Daniel, you may not think of it, but he had this vision that he didn't understand, and this caused him to be sick and ill for days. Like, he fainted and was ill for days because of this thing that he didn't understand. There's different levels of anxiety. I am not naturally like an anxious person. I don't struggle with anxiety every day, but I have had certainly periods where I have had anxiety. But I know that there's people, even people here, who maybe struggle with anxiety every day, every hour. It could be at the forefront of your thoughts. And the question is, how can we have hope in the middle of our anxious times? So it's that key that I was talking about. Because our God is near to us, we can have hope. So we're going to look at, because our God is near to us, he can transform our anxiety into peace. And we'll look at a few things under here, following through the scriptures. Because our God is near to us, we can let our requests be made known to him, and we can give thanks in the midst of our anxiety, and we can have our thoughts turned toward good. So because our God is near to us, we can let our requests and our anxieties be known to him. Coming out of verse 6 again, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to him. So this is really getting at prayer and supplication. What is that? Prayer is something that people have written books about, and rightly so. There's so much to say about prayer. But at the same time, you can simplify it down to five words. Prayer is talking with God. So our God is near to us. You can talk to him. He is present. He will listen to you. Supplication is a little bit more. Supplication involves humble seeking, entreating. It's this begging like, Lord, help. So when we have anxiety, God is near, we can talk to him. As we go through life and see God work in the midst of our anxieties, this is something that I've found helpful in my Christian walk. If you go back to the Old Testament, when the Israelites are coming out of the wilderness and crossing the Jordan on dry land, and God tells them to build a pillar of stones to remember what he has done for them in this time, I have this pillar of stones that throughout my life, I've been able to see God work in my life. I've been able to see him answer prayers. I've been able to see him change my mind. I've been able to see him change others' hearts. I've seen him act in others' needs and in my needs. These things, when they happen, I've been able to say, like, this is my pillar of stone. Like, I can go back to this. And when I'm in time of dealing with anxiety, I can know that God has answered these things in the past and that God is near to me now. It may not feel like he is, but he is. All right, so when we're praying to God, sometimes it often turns out more into a time where let me ask you this question. Do we seek satisfaction in our desires when we pray, or do we seek God and let him guide our desires? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 10, I want to read this for you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you suffered a little while, the God of grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So, in our walk, we're not called to not suffer. It doesn't mean that we won't suffer, and it doesn't mean that we have to be perfect in our suffering. But the outcome and the application here is that God will hold you through it and bring you out of it. One other thing to say about prayer when it comes to anxiety is that we don't have to do this on our own. We live in this community, this church body. We have brothers and sisters here. You have brothers and sisters probably outside of our church. If you are in the middle of if you're in the middle of anxiety, like, it's so good to reach out and just ask for prayer. Other people praying for you and being able to pray for other people is so helpful. It would be great to reach out. All right. So, because our God is near to us, we can give thanks in the midst of our anxiety. And this is a really hard thing, like giving thanks in the middle of anxiety. But because God is close at hand, we can have faith and be thankful that he will work all things for his glory and for our good. His glory, our good. Like, these two things are not mutually exclusive, or, you know, they don't exist by themselves. You cannot have, his glory and my true good are always tied together. My true good and his glory are always in line. With regard to thankfulness in the midst of this anxiety, I've heard it said, and I've found it to be true, that nothing disarms the devices of the enemy quite like a thankful heart. So being thankful for little things, being thankful for big things can just disarm where like our thoughts are headed. Although it really can be hard in the moment. So you may ask, like, how in the midst of our anxiety can we be thankful? And it's not something that we can do on our own a lot of times, but remembering that God is with us, that God is near to us, we can give thanks. When we have a need for something beyond what our ability allows, is where we come to our third point, which is, because our God is near to us, our thoughts can be turned toward good. So in verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise, these are the things that we're to think on. Often in the middle of our anxiety, we have blinders on, we're focused on just that one thing. And if we can ask ourselves, you know, like, are my thoughts these things, true, honorable, just, pure, lovely? If they are not these things, then we can ask God to help us. We can ask him to replace our thoughts. This is the supplication, like begging God to take us out of this. Anxiety can be tunnel vision, it can be crippling, but God cares for us all. Often, simply proclaiming what is true when it doesn't feel true is enough to help us to see this true. Our God, who is near to us, he is the one who will bring this peace which surpasses all understanding and will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. It is not something that we can produce on our own. It's something that we can ask others to pray for us for. So the church doesn't often talk about mental health and how our minds shape our sins, and how our heart, mind, and anxieties are all tied together. Like, we all struggle with anxiety, and we don't really talk about this very often. So I'm here today to say, like, you know, the God of peace is here. He will be near to you. He is near to you, and he can help us in these times. So we believe in a real fall that has corrupted our existence, even like how our minds are wired. We have these neural pathways that we reinforce through our lives, through like just the way that we think about things and the way we respond to things. And, you know, God can help us with that. as we meditate on his word, as we pray and seek him, like, he will help us. I won't say that when we're dealing with anxiety, like, not to do medication, to do medication. I won't say, like, talking to therapists are good, talking to therapists are bad, but those things, they are tools, and let tools be tools. Tools are not our savior. They are not God. We need to rely on God. So, you know, if the worst of our fears are coming true and we're dying, like, say you're dying at 98 in bed peacefully, like, you may not be anxious. I don't know. I've not been in that situation. Maybe you would be anxious. But say, like, you know, it's much worse than that. Say that we're about to be eaten by a shark or a tiger or piranhas, or we're about to fall into a sinkhole. How does God help us in that moment? We have one glaring example, and there's others to be sure, even listening to stories in the persecuted church today. But we can go back to Acts and look at Stephen, who was the first martyr, and he's being stoned to death, and he doesn't see, like, the pain and suffering that he's going through, but he sees the heavens opened and God and Jesus at the right hand of God, and everything's okay. Everything's okay because God is near to him. Everything for us is okay because God is near to us. The Lord is at hand is the key to everything. He is close, and he does love you. If you don't know him and you're here this morning, if you don't know him and you're listening, like, being anxious is incredibly reasonable. It would be so sad to be anxious and then to not have God at the end of your life. Jesus came and lived the perfect life. I mean, here's this kid who's Jesus, who grows into a man who's Jesus, who never once disobeyed, who never once lied, who never once had a lustful thought, who never once broke a commandment. Like, he went to the cross and paid the debt that only he could pay because he was the only perfect man who had ever lived. And because of that, we can be reconciled to God. We can accept God's gift of forgiveness through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. If you're here and you have not done this and you are anxious about that, come talk to me. Come talk to Joey. Talk to somebody. I'd love to talk to you. Love to pray with you. At the end of it all, the peace of God, which all of man's understanding throughout all of history, we cannot comprehend this peace. This peace will guard our hearts and guard our minds in Christ Jesus. Father, just thank you for being close to us. And Lord, we could preach sermons and sermons on this passage and many sermons throughout many scriptures on anxiety. Lord, I just pray that you would guard our hearts and our minds, that you would help us to meditate on these words, that you would be close to us. Father, thank you that you are. Amen.